You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition. I'm Anthony Kasterman. Pleased to be joined by Jason Beck. And the Tigers keep holding steady in that AL Central race. Nobody can really seem to gain any separation there. The Tigers did have a nice weekend in St. Louis, though. And in the midst of that, Miggy Cabrera, Beck, gets his 400th career home run. He can reach 1,400 RBI this week. It seems like it was a big deal to him. You know, maybe not the specific milestone, but tying the big cat, Andrés Galarraga, his fellow Venezuelan countryman. That seemed to be the most significant thing for him with that particular milestone.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where I remember when Manny Ordóñez was going through some of his peak seasons in Detroit there, years ago now, I guess. But, you know, Maglio talked about Galarraga with reverence and talked about the significance he had in the country and really how many young players grew up following him. And I think he kind of got a sense of that with Cabrera here now. And to think now of Cabrera, you know, probably passing Galarraga now is the, you know, he's going to end up as the greatest hitter in Venezuelan history, obviously. Yeah. But, you know, now I think the significance of having a Venezuelan as one of the greatest, you know, possibly one of the greatest hitters in history by the time this is all done, I think the historical sense is starting to hit him. And when we were talking with him about it last week, he, you know, that was the first time I can ever remember him being reflective. And it was kind of it was a surprise for me because I hadn't seen that side of Miguel before, you know, just talking about, you know, the numbers getting so big where you can't really ignore it. I mean, it's one thing to say, okay, you know, I'm here to win, you know, I'm here to win ball games. This is what my purpose. But at this point now, once you start getting the 400s, you know, this is going to go on. He's, you know, you would think within a few years, we're going to be talking about him in 500 home runs, you know, we're going to be talking about him with RBIs, with doubles. You know, I think he potentially has another batting title or two left in him, you know, especially the way he's hitting right now. You know, this is, you know, we're starting to look at it now where those numbers that everybody thought were possible for Cabrera are now, you know, coming into fruition, and you can see them on a page, and it's kind of incredible to do that. Or I guess these are more modern. Since, you know, you can see him on a computer screen, and it's starting to come into shape just where this guy could end up ranking if this keeps going.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned talking about Galarraga and the reverence he holds and him being reflective and something you haven't seen in a while, but it's got me thinking about you, Beck, and covering this guy on a daily basis. We're talking about, you know, a Hall of Fame player. I think his career could probably end tomorrow and he'd have a good Hall of Fame case. So what has that been like for you to watch his growth in Detroit and developing a relationship with this guy off the field, you know, in your daily interactions in that clubhouse? What's it been like for you?
Yeah, it's been a journey, really. You know, I think for all of us, because you know, it's been plenty written about, you know, just, you know, how Miguel could be kind of off-putting with the press sometimes, but he's kind of grown into the role. I guess, you know, the thing I keep thinking back to, and I wrote a little bit about this for something the other day, just I remember his first season in Detroit and talking with, you know, in Leland having one of his pregame sessions. Actually, it might have been postgame, but he had hit a home run at Yankee Stadium, one of those opposite field jobs. And Leland talked about, he basically laid down the challenge where he said, I want to see this kid focus on every at-bat, every time he goes up to the plate for a week, and see how he feels about it and see what happens. And he said, you know, if this guy stops giving away at-bats every now and then and starts putting the same focus every at-bat, there's no telling what this guy can do. And I guess every so often I think about that, and I don't know if that was a big step or not, because it was still another year or two before we really saw, you know, the Cabrera we see now. But I think back to that, and you kind of see to watch the raw talent turn into, you know, actual production and turn into a triple crown, three straight batting titles. It really probably the greatest hitter of this, you know, of this generation, I think is incredible. It's been incredible to watch, but also to watch him off the field learn to enjoy this. And I think that took longer.
Yeah.
And I think it took having Prince Fielder around. I think it took having Torrey Hunter around for him to be able to do that. And he's at this point in his life now where I think these two are intersecting in a really cool way. And this is where you see Miguel having fun on the field, messing around with guys. And you can sense that there's a legitimate enjoyment of where he is right now and what's going on around him.
Yeah, few people have more fun playing this game than Miggy Cabrera, and a few guys more successful. Nobody more successful to play it than Miguel Cabrera. I did find this stat curious, Beck. This is interesting. His OPS during the day this season, and you know, we're getting to the point where these quote unquote sample sizes are expanding. In day games, he's got a 1.427 OPS. He's got a 575 OPS at night. 9 of his 10 home runs have come in day games, and all 6 of his doubles have come in day games as well. What do you make of that? Anything there?
You know what? I didn't want to make much out of it, but then I think he started taking it a little bit seriously too, where I think even he was wondering what was going on, and we saw him this past week start to wear these glasses during night games that look an awful lot like the sunglasses he wears during day games, except obviously the lenses aren't tinted. And it's like, what's going on there? And then, just talking about it, he said one of the things was, you know, he's been dealing with these bad allergies, and his eyes have been, red and watery and stuff, kind of like what I think we were about with Albuquerque was going through a couple weeks ago. And one of the reasons for the glasses was to keep wind and pollen out of his eyes, he said. But I think, too, deep down, he kind of did a wink and a nod at it, was that some of it was simulating some of the conditions he has for day games, where if he's used to having these glasses on and he's comfortable with them, you know, give it a shot and see what kind of difference, if anything, it makes. And, you know, I don't know if there's a glare difference, too, that, you know, if the lights bother his eyes a little bit or what, but I think it was kind of a, you know, maybe not an acknowledgement, but at least some sort of wink and a nod that, you know, maybe there was something more to it than just a small sample size.
Yeah, that's interesting. And then another thing that's obviously not prone to a sample size, we've talked about before, but Victor Martinez's struggles on the left-hand side of the plate. And, of course, they were able to rest him over the weekend in St. Louis. Under National League rules, but he's not going on the DL. That was confirmed when he came up to pinch hit on Sunday, because that would have screwed up the whole DL timetable as far as backdating it. But what do you make of Victor's situation with that knee and his ability to grind through this thing?
You know, I think they're trying whatever they can right now. I think they're at a point where they're willing to give most anything a shot, because as of 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, as of a couple weeks ago, you know, they weren't going to do that. This was a situation where, you know, rest supposedly wasn't going to make, you know, much difference, if at all. And that the fact that they're trying that now, I think speaks volumes, is the level of consternation about this and trying to work it out. I think that said, you can't be completely shocked at all of this, that this knee is slow to come along, given how recently he had the surgery. You know, I think people expect him to be good as new, and just from looking at guys who've come back from it, it's a process to get through it. I know Victor's leaning on, what happened 2 years ago when he was coming back from that lost season to knee surgery, and the fact that he had a miserable first 2 months there. And it was right around mid to late May that he started, you know, turning it around. And once he did, he really had a bounce back. I think he's looking for that bounce back right now. the question is, does he have enough strength in that left knee, even at this point, to have that type of bounce back? Because obviously, when he had the lost season to knee surgery in 2012, now he had a lot more time to rehab, recover, and strengthen that knee than he did now. I mean, this was basically a February surgery. It was right before spring training. So I think this is still part of the process here. And he's kind of caught in this thing where he's trying to strengthen it and strengthen the knee and play at the same time. But from everybody I've talked to, you know, simply giving it, you know, even 15 days of rest shouldn't make a big difference. So I'm not sure what's going to happen now, other than maybe the potential benefit of being able to get away from it and kind of work on some stuff at the plate and try to see if there's a more comfortable way to swing left hand. He says he's not going to hit right-handed full time. He says that's a non-starter. But you know, as time goes on, you know, depending on what the results are this week, you wonder if he might have to consider that at some point.
And if not that, then maybe just, yeah, as you alluded to, just changes in his mechanics, not too dissimilar from what Miggy went through last year, having to change his swing to account for some obvious discomfort in the lower half. But and one last thing, Beck, on the same note about discomfort in the lower half, Alex Avila, we spoke last week about that being kind of an underrated blow to this roster, but he's going to, it sounds like he's going to fight through this without the surgery, at least for now. What's the prognosis on Mr. Avila?
We haven't really gotten a timetable yet. I think the fact that, you know, arthroscopic surgery, the typical timetable for recovery in a situation like that is about 6 weeks. I would presume the fact that he's going to try to work through it without surgery means that he believes he can come back sooner than that. It also sounds like there's a little bit of a uncertainty as far as what level or what degree of damage there was in the knee, that they got different results after looking at enhanced MRI than they did looking at the regular MRI. And he went to three doctors, and you know, one of them was the former Tigers team physician. So, you know, he was, I guess, I don't know if there was a consensus or not as far as how to work through this. It sounds like there's at least a majority opinion. And maybe there was a consensus, but I think at the very least they felt like it was worth a shot to try it this way and see if they're going to respond. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, because you know, he hasn't really had much trouble in that knee. He's had a little bit of tendonitis, but that was about it. But you know, it's going to be a new procedure for him, having to rehab stuff like that. And at the same time, you've got a, you know, kid, James McCann, who's performing awfully well in that spot in his stead.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll continue to check in on Avila. And maybe, I don't know, Beck, maybe the Tigers can move all their home game times to a day to account for Miguel Cabrera's splits. I think that might be the best move of all, right? You get some day games.
You know,
they play more of those weekday, right? Day games than most clubs.
You know what? They have that weird Thursday day game series opener against the Astros coming
that's
up.
Right.
So that's one thing in her favor.
Yeah, Miguel's got that one circled, I'm sure. All right. Thanks, Beck, for joining us and all the updates as usual. And thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.